Good evening. We're back for all the travelers, hitchhikers, and people just traveling around on the earth here. This is the Earthship. You're just a hitchhiker and passenger on this ship, and we're traveling along, so we might as well have a good time while we're doing it. Welcome to the Earthship. I'm Roy. I'll be your pilot. Our co-pilot is Miss Mandy.
Hello, everyone.
And our engineer is Mr. Sean.
Howdy.
And tonight with us, we have Dead Pass getting ready for a Project Independent tour. How you doing, guys?
Excellent.
Good.
Who all we got there? Let's give us a rundown on it. You know who each one of you are and what your position with the band is.
I'm Brian Gray, lead singer.
This is Gene McCrimmon. I play lead guitar.
I'm Lane Dennison. I play bass and do backup vocals.
And I'm Ross Lopez, band manager.
Oh, that's right. You don't have your drummer there.
Yeah, our drummer, he's indisposed at the moment, and our guitar player is actually on the tour with Project Independent.
Yes, he's going to be rolling through town here in Billings, Montana, where our studios are. He's going to be rolling through here tomorrow night. Hopefully I get a chance to say hi and see him. Now, you guys are getting ready to go down to the Project Independent show in Denver. Where's that going to be at and what night?
It's at Castleman's, September 14th, Sunday. It's down there, I think, in... I don't know, Lodo, or I can't remember what they call the district of Denver, but it's going to be a pretty cool show, man. Pretty decent venue. I really like what they got going on down there, and a bunch of really cool heavy metal bands, and that's what we do, is play good American heavy metal. So
I heard a cool sound effects back there. Was someone sneaking into or out of the room?
Yeah, somebody is sneaking in.
Yeah, I thought it was just special that's effects right. That we had going on. I thought Sean over there is going to give him credit for it.
Oh, so this is why me and Sean get along, because, you know, that's just funny.
He just farted.
He's got a fart button over there.
Oh, my co-host just informed me at the beginning of the show that she ate, what, potato soup tonight?
Yeah, and I just told him to watch out, because, you know, I just felt something coming on, and I just didn't want... I just wanted them to know, just in case it happened, because, I mean, it's going to stick if it comes on.
She told us she was just going to
stick. That sounds like our drummer.
So
she told us she was going to stick the mic to her butt because it's a metal show, and we told her only if you light it on fire.
Well, I thought that you guys, I was like, well, if it happens, you know, if it comes out and it's really loud, obnoxious, that you guys would probably be like, you know, well, that's metal, you know. Yeah.
Clearly.
So, you know, I thought you guys would agree, you know, with the fart being metal. And then they told me that I'd have to light it on fire in order for it to really be metal. And I thought, yeah, that's probably true, actually.
Why aren't we Skyping this with video then?
Yeah, I know. I know, that'd be more interesting.
It gets kind of...
But anyway, you know, I apologize if you guys happen to hear something too. I'm trying really hard to be good and hold in, but you know.
And if we start gasping for air here, whatnot, and you hear me choking and gagging, we'll go to music really fast and evacuate the room.
So, yeah.
Okay, so I have a question. I guess it's not that important, but I just wanted to know how you guys feel about being in Project Independent, because I personally feel like if I were in a metal band and I got into Project Independent, that it would be one of the coolest things, because I go every year. I mean, I'm going to miss my very first year that, you know, I've known about it because I have a show, but otherwise I'd be there because I go every year and it's such a badass show, and it's just, I don't know, how do you feel about being there, like being a part of it?
You know, it's a really cool experience. We met these guys through the web when we were working with cutting our songs, and they just came with open arms and helped us out. And I'm really stoked about the fact that camaraderie, the musicianship with everybody, you know, all these bands get together and help each other out, and it's for a common goal, and that's to, you know, get your art out and let everybody hear it. So
exactly.
It's a really cool medium to be working through, and we're excited for it.
You know, there's an underlying theme to that, in that there's room for everybody. Guess what, people? We can all have a piece. Everybody can get out there and play and do the thing if you do just that, support each other.
Exactly.
I've been over to Europe and seen some of the heavy metal scene there, and it's just support everywhere. You know, it's you look at a heavy metal show and you think it's some big crazy devil worshipping festival, and it's really just kind of like hardcore hippies.
Yeah, so really, it's true.
It's a really good time, and it's nice to see some of that coming to Wyoming and us being able to represent Wyoming, and there's not a lot of that here, so.
No, I had one other metal band I was working with down in Wyoming, and unfortunately they're not together anymore. And they were really cool with what they were doing. They put out one EP and sort of did an album, and that was it. I don't know if you guys ever got a chance to catch a Minerva down there. but they're not together anymore. They tried to stay together, change their name, had the normal band stuff that happens to so many bands that breaks them up. They'll lose someone, gain someone. The idea gets lost, and it just kind of fades away. And that was really the only other metal band in Wyoming that I've worked with besides you guys that I've come in contact with. And beyond that, you know, you guys are pretty much it for what I've been able to get exposure to.
It takes a really, it takes a lot of effort in order to come out of Wyoming playing metal. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of scene here. There's not a whole lot of people that like to help. And you just have to put your head down and work. And, you know, we've been at it for 2 years, pretty much every day solid. And now we're finally getting some notoriety for it. And we're just humbled that people are paying attention, you know.
Okay, so come on, you're from
the garage to building a studio to recording records. Now we're down with Flatline, going to be recording our EP next week after the show.
And where are you doing that at?
Shows and Flatline Audio in Denver with Dave Otero. It's a pretty cool experience, man, and it's nice to work with industry professionals and get involved in what's really going on. And I think that's the problem with a lot of heavy metal in Wyoming is they just don't have the drive or the ability to work at it.
Have you done this before? Went to a professional studio and recorded and everything? Or is this your first run at it?
That's our first run, I think, with the whole, you know, getting involved really in deep with the metal community, you know, the real metal community, not just the local celebrity type level, you know. So,
well, if you don't go through the experience without learning to hating to love your producer down there while you're recording.
Yeah, I was on the phone.
You're going to hate to love him.
I told him, man, I can't wait for you to tell me that sucks. He said, good, because there's going to be a lot of it.
Yeah. You know, and the more you got it down, the more you can just walk in and go, boom, and do it right off the bat, the better off you're going to be. The cheaper the process is, you know, less it costs you in the end because you spend less studio time. But producer can be your best friend, your worst nightmare, and an intimate love affair all at the same time, without a doubt.
Right.
Sounds like last night.
Yeah, it sounds like after the gig.
Yeah, I'll be curious. We'll get you guys back on when you get ready to do your CD release party and everything. You know, after you get that all cut and mastered and you're ready to go out live with it, we'll get you back on before your CD release party, and we'll talk about that experience. I'll be curious to see how it went.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, it'll be a good time, man. I love Denver, Colorado. It's a pretty mellow place. Feel me?
So you guys, you're from Wyoming. You gotta do this for me somewhere along the line. Write a country song and turn it metal. I want a metal country song.
I want
my dog back. I don't want my wife back. I want my truck back.
Right?
I want all that other crap back. I want a metal country metal song. You're from Wyoming, goddammit. You've got to do it. It's a rule.
So. Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because you say that because me and Lane, say hi, Lane.
Hello.
He's not just a ghost in the back. We have a local act that we do in the bars down here called the Bearded Bastards. And it's just the two of us on acoustic guitars, and we do a bunch of crazy versions of covers and country songs. And then people find out we're in a heavy metal band, and they freak out. So it's pretty lucrative business playing bar tunes. It's a hell of a lot more profitable in Wyoming than playing metal, but we're getting there.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think you come up this direction. We got a chance to, you know, probably book you in for something to where you can do metal at a gig, you know, a venue one night, and do the Bearded Bastards another night at another venue we're working with. I think
catching that, Ross.
I am.
Anyway, so Mandy's sitting here about, I'm not sure she's ready to fart or if she really wants to ask this question.
Well, I was just going to say that before the show started that we were getting on the subject of the fact that you guys recorded and pretty much did all of that stuff before you introduced yourself to the scene. And I was wondering if you guys wanted to talk about that for a second because it was kind of interesting to me and that was about it. I was just going to bring that back.
Well, we've all kind of been in the music scene around here for 10 years plus. Some of us are just kind of getting into it. So we've all been in bands and kind of gone through the rounds and only made it so far. So this time was different, I guess. And everybody's like a family. It has to be that way or it doesn't work. And so we set up and built the studio and wrote songs and recorded and worked on our faults before we came out. Because I feel if you come out live, you should have something to offer people instead of just being another crappy act.
Yeah, local band. And I think that's the problem with a lot of bands in Wyoming is they say, okay, you know, they get six songs together real quick in mom's garage, and then they come out and play 50 shows, and they do them all for free, and they have no merch to sell, and everybody forgets about them as soon as they walk out the door. And you have to have, you know, content, good quality content, and Desh Productions here in Casper really hooked us up on the video. It's on YouTube. And it's just really cool. Once we dropped the video, we started making content and merch, and now people are paying attention. It's a new game in music now. You can't just come out and play, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. I just thought that was kind of cool that you guys did that. That's actually smart to do all that first and then come out, because it's just, I don't know, it just seems...
Now you mentioned the video on YouTube. That video is for the song Subliminal Straitjacket, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny story. They came up with this tune. I didn't really like it. I started writing the lyrics, and I wrote the lyrics about quitting my job to play music for a living, which I did a couple years ago. And we ended up filming the video in the place I quit my job, ironically. So it kind of came back full circle on accident, and really dig that tune.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It kind of left me speechless.
A lot of people think it's about, you know, like it's really devilish and, you know, evil heavy metal. And actually, if you can pay attention to the words and you're into music, you can understand that the song is really just about lying to yourself about going to work every day and thinking that that's, you know, the only way to get by. You know,
don't even get me started on that. I don't even want to go down that road. Let's just go and listen to Subliminal Straitjacket before I wind up on a weird off tangent and get all Marxist and anti-capitalistic and everything else on us here. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. I tried to get our engineer to here to take it when we come back, but he's over there with, you know, this whole great big huge board, dials, panels, computer, everything else going on at once. But he's our local resident metal guy. I will say this, though. He's got a huge ear-to-ear grin right now.
He's feeling pretty good. Okay.
Yeah, I was really digging that. I like that.
Hell yeah. Nice.
For me, I got to be honest. Metal for me has been an acquired taste. It's kind of like learning how to drink Pendleton Scotch. It's not just something you pick up and start sucking down. There's a way to do it. And
I
that's
get crap from all these guys because that's all I like is metal. I can't do the old rock and roll or any of it. And they all hate me for it.
Just be yourself. That's all you got to be.
That's it. I love metal.
So, so what's your influences?
There's so many to name. I can
give
Slayer,
me the top three. Megadeth,
Slayer, Megadeth, Pantera.
So glad you said Megadeth and not Metallica.
Testament.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Creator. I mean, there's a million of them in all different styles.
Death Angel.
Death Angel. Yeah.
Nevermore, you're about to say.
Nevermore, yeah. Of course, yeah.
The new Sanctuary stuff is really good. Pretty excited about that. Exodus is one of my favorites.
So you got influences like that.
Yeah, it's endless.
You know, it's...
Sure.
It's what... got you to where you're at in some way. I mean, those are the things that you really appreciate.
As a guitar player, I guess metal's still very interesting to me, and there's still plenty to learn.
So how do you move forward without winding up sounding like them and creating something that's totally unique and you and new?
I think it comes out. I think it comes out with the people you play with.
Agreed. I think the crazy thing about our band is our drummer, Tommy Strange, and that's his real name, God-given Tommy Strange. He lives
that's
up
pretty strange.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
He lives up to it.
It gets weird.
He's just crested 40. I'm 33. Gene's 32 now? 31. Well, you're old enough. And Colton and Lane are both in their early 20s, so we have this big dynamic as far as eclectic tastes in the band, and when we pull it together and play metal, it just becomes something else. I think it's really, it's on the edge of what's commercially accepted, and it's still pissed off. So
yep.
I like it.
So what's it is? It's still pissed off, and I've talked to a lot of different metal bands about what their message is and where they're at. And normally, when people think of metal, I think the impression a normal person would have is, yeah, it's pissed off music. So the question would come in just from the layperson that's out there that's not into metal or anything like that, walking down the street. I stop them on the street, I play one of your songs and whatnot. They're like, yeah, they're pissed off. The question that's going to pop up in their head is, what are you pissed off about, man? Why are you so pissed off?
See, and I think it's more the style. I mean, listen to the Beatles songs. Some of them are really pissed off.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Sound.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, I mean, Hell you know, and a lot of people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people give me shit about my vocals. They're like, well, we can't understand a damn word out of your mouth. And I say, well, you know every word to Louie Louie, too, don't you? So, it's really relative when it comes to that. I mean, most of my songs are either written about my religious beliefs, my personal beliefs, struggles in my own life, or about basically how the government's ran. And in my opinion, you know, being from Wyoming, it's pretty Republican. So it's just one of those things. I mean, I believe in the freedom to make art, and all of us do. And that's, I think, what comes out in our music most, as opposed to, you know, the devil or any crazy stuff like that.
So why haven't you written a song about Barney yet, then? That's something you can get really pissed off about. That's,
you know, that's ironic. My nephew yesterday was singing Barney the Uncle Brian Dinosaur or something.
Yeah, Brian's a big purple dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about a comic metal album? Somebody needs to do a metal album that just, yeah, about Barney and, you know, Bert and Ernie, and I don't know who else. What is the other things? SpongeBob, a metal song about SpongeBob. You know,
there probably is one out
there's
there.
There's actually a band out there called the Austrian Death Machine that does some Arnold Schwarzenegger stuff.
That's
oh, God. Well, all I got to say about metal is that it sure makes me feel good a lot when I listen to it. I personally feel happy when I listen to a song like that. Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, I feel like a skip in my, you know, you know, I feel lighthearted and all that. I feel good. Like, if I'm having a horrible day and I put on a song that's metal, you know, I feel really good. It makes me feel better. I almost feel like it's a vent. It's a vent for a lot of people. Not necessarily because you're mad. Like, it's just a vent in general. You know, there's a lot said in metal that's, you know, like you guys were saying. It keeps me
from being upset in my normal life, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot more stories behind a lot of songs. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot more to it. Yep. Like, I think there's way more to it than just the devil and shit. Like, yeah, there's some metal bands out there about the devil. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. I know what you guys are saying about that.
I like how you guys came across. I come from an outside perspective where I was just managing the Bearded Bastards. And they're acoustic cover jam band, and that's my type of style. These guys had to teach me what you said. They had to teach me what Pissed Off was. They had to teach me what good metal was. But I tell you something, from standing from outside the band, this is the tightest knit group of guys I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of local bands. So they're killing it. They're just getting it.
It's because we get a lot of hate and almost like discrimination against heavy metal up here in Wyoming. I mean, there's not a lot of people here, and the people here aren't metal.
That almost makes it more brutal.
Where the hell do you play there? I mean, not to give away all your secrets, but, you know, we got some metal bands up here that would like to get into Wyoming. And I know a couple of places. I mean, I know you guys will hook up some of my bands there in Casper, and I got one place in Sheridan, possibly two that can be played at. Depends if you want to play for next to nothing or actually make some money at the gig. But beyond Sheridan and Casper, where do you guys play? Who's willing to let you in? I mean, I've walked into bars and wanted to book a metal band. They're like, oh my God, a metal band. I don't know. They're going to tear the place up. I got the fucking mosh pit people and all them goddamn kids. And, you know, you can't understand a damn thing that they're singing. And, you know, it's just total fucking chaos. And I don't want that in my bar. I don't want it in my bar. And
that's exactly what happens here.
The funny thing is the first metal show I put together was in the Beaver Creek Saloon in Sheridan. And the owner was terrified that all that was going to happen. You know what? It was the mellowest crowd I think I've worked with. It's kind of like when the Harley Rodeo first came to Red Lodge. They brought in police from all over the state to manage things. There were 3 arrests during the whole thing the first year they had it. The regular rodeo, on the other hand, they filled up the Red Lodge jail. They overflowed into the Bridger jail, and they put people in the Laurel jail for the regular rodeo, cowboy rodeo. But people's perceptions of it, I mean, the metal group was that they policed themselves. They took care of themselves. You know, yeah, they moshed and stuff and whatnot. They kept it on the dance floor. It didn't leave the dance floor. There weren't any fights. And I was like, God, this is the easiest crowd in the world to handle.
It's hard to get in a fight when you're so tired from moshing.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. And I've seen a lot of love in mosh pits sometimes, too, after everybody's done moshing and beating the shit out of each other. And all of a sudden, you see two guys like, oh, bro, you know, like hugging each other and just enjoying the metal, you know. And you're just, I don't know. I've seen it before. And it's really funny.
Oh, see, and I'm back even
farther.
They're
all drunk.
Moshing didn't start with metal. Moshing started with punk back in the 80s. And that's where I started moshing, is in punk pits, you know, in the front of it. Right. So, and then it moved over into metal and stuff. So I still love the mosh. Stay the fuck away from me. I like the mosh. Elbows are coming up.
I used to like to mosh.
You know, I've seen your picture, and you totally don't look like a mosher.
I don't. Wait till I put on my kilt, my combat boots, my arm gauntlets, and everything. I'm ready to roll.
That's awesome.
That's fucking metal.
Yeah, I can roll it out in a kilt, and my arm gauntlets, and everything else. Yeah, I'm ready to roll.
Jeez.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you seeing the public. I gotta be warm and somewhat fuzzy for the public image, because there are some people out there that I do have to do business with that just want a certain type of person, and I really have to give it to them, and it's a big fucking lie. But I can be what they want me to be. Yeah. Once in a while.
I know, I'm a tattoo artist as well, and when people come in, they're like, I want this tattoo. I'm like, okay, it's a great idea. But it's not usually.
There's this Facebook page someone pointed me to the other day, speaking of tattoos, about this woman that just, she fucking hates tattoos, and she thinks everybody's a degenerate and all this kind of stuff. And I wrote this whole big ordeal, and it went through, you know, making my last job, you know, almost $1 million a year in all these businesses, and literally having the governor of Wyoming in my favorites list on my phone, and being friends with the mayor and all this stuff. But you know what? I guess I'm a fucking degenerate because I have tattoos. You know?
Well, thank you for standing up tattoo discrimination, because it's bullshit.
It's bullshit. I know so many professionals that I, you know, there's... half the people I know that have tattoos are middle income or below. The other half of the people I know that have tattoos, their income starts at $250,000 a year and above.
Yeah.
And that's reality of it.
Well, next to the prostitution, it's the oldest job in the world. So
It is. And it's a status symbol. It's a story of one's life. It's, I mean, you go back into the Japanese and the Samoans and everything else, the tattoos really are part of who you are and where you've been.
Yeah.
And we're all just people anyway. So, I mean, who cares if someone has cat, you know, if you don't or if you do, whatever.
It's art and it's a story to tell.
I just don't see why people have to be so weird about it.
I just think it's really cool. My co-host here, I'm sitting here and I'm using this really cool microphone, a Shure Super 55 Retro. Looks like it's out of the 20s. And I can just see it below my nose while I speak into it. And I look over at her and I don't even look at her beautiful face. I see it on her arm. She's got it tattooed on her arm with musical notes and flames. And
they kind of match. I admit that his microphone kind of matches mine. I noticed that the first day I saw it. I was like, damn.
What's going on? How you doing?
Right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, how you doing, microphone? Look like my microphone. Hey, hey. You know?
The microphone's one of me.
Your microphone's one of me. Oh, my God. Oh, it's getting dirty up in here. Oh, snap.
Oh, so next song we were putting up here on the playlist, queued up and everything. It sounds like you're definitely making a statement here. War Torn, tell us about that one.
War Torn's basically, there's a policy called the Scorched Earth Policy, and it's somewhat roughly like you go into a country and you basically burn and slash the whole thing and take everything, and then you rebuild them so that they work underneath you. And
Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah, and it happens, you know, it's happened a lot in history over and over again, the Romans, and basically it's, this song is about how that's happening through, in America, but through media and through devices, metaphorically, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it speaks of the policy itself, but kind of flips it around and says, don't you understand, you know, it's your war-torn policy. Why can't you see this? So
this almost sounds like, I'm just going to throw this out before we go to it, as much being angry about it, but at the same time hurting.
Yeah, yeah. It's about seeing it's happening and stepping away from the system and saying, can't you see this? You know, can't you see what you're doing?
So when you guys produced this and composed it, was it being angry about it, or was it more hurting and feeling pain and sadness about it?
Well, Gene came to me with the licks, and he was like, dude, check this out. This thing's so pissed off. So usually Gene walks in the room, and he's like, okay, turn it to 11 and listen. So I got the track, and I only had the first verse forever, and then these guys basically came to me and said, you know, finish it. And we sat down and we basically all wrote the last verse together, and that tied it in. And I went back and rewrote some of it. And so it was, for me, it was about, waking up and seeing what's happening. To these guys, I think it was more about the bombs. So it's a mixed view.
So cool. We're going to go to that. And for those of you out there that don't understand what Turn It to 11 means, that's because you're not a metalhead. For all the metalheads out there, you know where the slot is. Turn It to 11. Do that right now. Hit it, Sean.
Bye. well-established federal law. The concepts we are facing are not extraordinary. Unfortunately, the consequences are extremely significant.
Yeah, that was really awesome.
Dude, that song gets me so jazzed.
I generally don't jump in technical and say at a certain point in a song and a certain beat and everything else there is something that happened, but I'm going to this time. At 3 minutes into the song, you guys come in with the spoken vocal part about the consequences. Just in case anybody missed that.
It's my favorite part.
Give it to us off the top of your head, and let's talk about that part.
It says, the reality is we are dealing with well-established federal law. The concepts we are facing are not extraordinary. Unfortunately, the consequences are quite significant. And it relates to basically our limit to the freedom of being able to speak against the government. You know what I mean? Yeah. To be able to tell them what's up. It's like... they're just restricting and restricting and restricting the ability to tell them no. And eventually the consequences are going to suck.
The sad thing about it is you have more freedom to speak out against the government and tell them to fuck off than you do a corporation.
Well,
against the corporation and tell them absolutely not, no way, and see what happens. They don't have to play by any rules at all, and that's what sucks. And they are the government. The corporations are the government.
They are the government.
Yep,
they run it. Somebody has to pay for all that shit.
Yep, and it's you and I. It's you and I, so there's every reason to be pissed off, without a doubt.
And it's, you know, if it's not here, it's everywhere else. Like, me and my bass player, Lane, here, we just recently booked some tickets to Germany. We're going to go to Germany in a couple weeks after the show and after we finish the recording and start dropping the disc over in Europe. And, you know, I get over there, and I love Germany, man. I've been there a lot. Amsterdam, I tattoo over there quite often, and I'm so excited to go again. But I talk to them, and they say, you know, we want to be in America. It's the same everywhere, you know? It's kind of sad where it's at, and there will be a change eventually. I think we'll see it in our lifetime.
Yeah, it's surprising that I've got some friends over in Ukraine, and they're looking at, we want to come to America, it's safe and everything there. And I'm like, it's safe where I'm at.
Yeah, that Ukraine crisis.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Out of control.
Oh, well, man. For the most part, it's safe where I'm at, but like when this person goes to the country, out to their grandparents' place and the farm and everything, it's just like coming out to Wyoming or Montana. And then look at the number. Granted, right now things are getting high. There's been 2,600 people die already.
I was
going to
say, lately it's been pretty
lately it's
up.
Gotten pretty bad and pretty fucked up. One of my friends has disappeared over there completely. I haven't had contact with them in a few weeks now, and I'm assuming they're probably not. I'm not going
to
hear from them again.
Sorry. And,
you know, it's I don't know what's happened. Hopefully, I do in the future. But for most countries, I've traveled all over Europe. There's not much difference. In fact, I'd rather be in some places in Europe than here, to be quite honest. It's pretty violent here, and it's pretty oppressive.
And, you know, it was funny because I was sitting in a bar in Germany, and my friend, she looks at me and she says, come down the street, let's go. And I picked my beer up, and I started chugging it, you know? And she looks at me and she goes, what are you doing? And I said, finishing my beer. And she says, bring it with you. And I tell her, well, in America, you know, you go to jail for that. You can't drink on the street. And she says, you can carry a gun, but you can't carry a beer. And I thought that was kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
Hello, America. Let's go back to America. America. The free and the love of the brave.
Yeah, you know, let's...
I'm American.
I'm free to carry a gun, but you're not brave enough to let me have a beer on the street while I walk.
How dare them tell us to not have a beer on the street.
I love my country. I'm just not such a big fan of my government right now.
I love my country. I fucking hate the government. And I can't stand the corporations. That's the bottom line.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I hate people too, but I like individuals.
Write that down.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put that, Roy.
Globally, I hate people. I hate people.
People get on my nerves too, you know?
Yeah. But I like some individuals.
People, you know?
You know what I really hate? Ethnic groups. I don't care what ethnic groups are. ethnic groups is just, it's the concept I hate. Ethnic groups is a definition that separates people. Yep. I don't really give a shit what you look like, what color your skin is, what your sexual orientation is. You can even go out and fuck sheep. I come from Wyoming. It's normal there, okay? Velcro mittens and hip waders, okay? I really don't care. Are you an honest, nice person? Are you real? Are you going to hurt? That's what I look for. I like people.
People.
I like individuals. Individuals. I don't want to separate people or pigeonhole them at all. So I could probably get into metal just thinking about that. I could wind up getting into metal real hard because it pisses me off that people separate themselves.
To get over to Germany and play, you know, Wacken, With Full Force, Summer Breeze festivals, the biggest heavy metal festivals in the world, you know, and I want to do it by next year. These guys think I'm fucking crazy, but they didn't think we'd be on the radio in a year either. So here we are.
I don't think you're crazy. And I've got some friends that might be able to give you some insight. And I'll just say it out here. They're a Southern rock band called Sweet Kiss Mama out of the Northwest. I can get you in touch with those guys. They right now, and have been for about 5 years now, the number one selling Southern rock band on CD Baby, but they've been topping the charts in Germany in particular and Europe for quite a while. Jeff Hamill from that band could give you guys a lot of insight on how to hit the charts and how to make all that happen. They're getting ready to go on a tour over there as well right now. And they're doing the Southern rock thing, but he really knows how to set up distribution and get that going. All you need is one person to point the way and open the door.
It's ironic you said CD Baby because we just won a distribution. We entered a competition with Groove 3 and we won the competition. So Disc Baby is making all our copies for this run on our first run on the disc for free. And Disc Makers is. Yeah. And then CD Baby is distributing it for us. So,
well, I'll tell you what, when it comes to the distribution in Germany and Europe, but Germany in particular, it's not electronic distribution. You're going to be sitting down there in your basement in the studio, packaging CDs, putting it in boxes, calling UPS, shipping that crap out, and you're going to be doing that until your fingers bleed from tape cuts. Yeah, so,
yeah.
That's hard to figure out what to do now with CDs not selling like they used to and everything being on the internet or digital. As far as marketing, that's a whole new game for us.
So, we're going to roll into another song here, and this one, just the name of it, has me curious, and we're going to kind of change the order from what we discussed in the beginning, just because I'm the producer, and I get to do that, and it's my prerogative, and I really don't fucking care what people think. So, that's my little control thing.
You're so metal.
Yeah.
He's being
so
pretty metal.
So, fuck
right
you,
now.
Here we go. yeah. Six bullets, one reason. I can think of quite a few reasons for six bullets. What's your reason?
He's looking at me. He's fuck,
I'm waiting for her to fart. That's what I'm looking at her for.
You know, I haven't yet. I'm actually really shocked that I haven't farted yet. I really thought I would by now.
Yes.
I'm kind of disappointed in myself.
Fart, get shot.
I can't wait to meet her.
It's funny because...
Whatever.
The words... words escape me. She's this.
There's an interesting story behind the song title of this, but do you want it now or do you want to play it first?
Well, give it to us now. Let's hear it ahead of time and see if people can figure it out as they go.
I originally titled the song Wrecking Ball, and it was one of the first songs we wrote. And and then the whole Miley Cyrus thing came out with Wrecking Ball. So I got really pissed off. I walked into the studio one night at rehearsal, and I said, we got to change the title of this fucking song because Miley Cyrus just screwed it up. And Tommy stood up behind the drums and he says, "Well, I got 6 bullets and 1 reason then."
That's awesome. So that's
a fucking bitch, man.
I'd be pissed too, though. That shit's happened to me too.
Oh, it's happened to a lot of artists.
It makes me mad too. I understand you guys.
Yep.
Yeah, we had it. We were rolling on the song. We had it done and recorded, and we were ready to, you know, drop it on Facebook. And I'm like, oh, the wrecking ball incident.
Aren't you glad that happened before you did that, though? That would have been worse.
It happened after we recorded it, yeah. So we were like, the infamous Miley Cyrus wrecking ball incident ruined our plans, our grandeur dreams, and now we titled it after her now. 6 bullets, 1 reason.
Yeah. 6 bullets, 1 reason. Miley Cyrus, this is dedicated to you, girl. We love you in all the wrong ways. Let's have it, Sean. Just for you.
That song was really beautiful. Just like the other ones.
I liked it.
Just like it was gorgeous.
It was beautiful.
It was gorgeous.
It made me think of unicorns and you know,
I'm going to say Miley Cyrus as much as I can on this because it's going to push our Google ratings up, and it's going to push our Google ratings up because that song was inspired by Miss Miley Cyrus, and the name had to be changed because of her riding that stupid wrecking ball into that building on a song that...
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Don't
it's
die.
It's stuck in my throat. I can't say it. Bitch!
Yeah, Miley.
Okay.
We're
there we go.
An identical video to hers.
Wait, you got to get the hairiest fat guy in the world you can find to get on there, though. This dude's got to be like 600. You're going to need a forklift to get him onto the wrecking ball with straps tying him on, and we got to do the video. I'll come shoot it. I'll shoot anything. I don't care.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't
matter. That'd be awesome.
It's funny, our manager's an ex-crane operator, so that might work out.
Yeah, there we go.
If he can find a crane, I think I know the fat guy, and he's even kind of hairy.
I'm just kidding.
Promotion.
What do you mean, oh, you?
I'm just kidding. I was just kidding, obviously. I just thought it'd be funny to throw out there, you know.
You know, if you guys want something really sexy, though, this girl here, she's
totally. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Her eyes are going to start turning brown here real quick, and
brown.
You know why.
My eyes are going to start turning brown because I'm going to, you know, fart, and then, you know.
No, because you're filling up full of shit here.
That's my kind of girl. Drinks whiskey, farts. It's awesome.
Great. Yep.
Filling up with shit? I've not heard that one. That's hilarious. I don't even think I've heard that one. That's hilarious.
So you're so full of shit, your eyes are turning brown?
I'm always full of shit, though, you know? I mean, technically, you know. We're all full of shit, you know. We just poop it out a lot.
She's way too nice to me, though, on this show. She just is way too nice to me on this show.
I am.
I don't know what to do about it.
Except for when I listen to metal, then I'm hardcore.
Yeah. You guys got her going tonight. You guys got her going. This is the most active she's been in a few weeks now. So just so you know, stroke your egos, dudes. You got this girl going.
Well, I like metal, you know. Metal makes me happy. You know,
metal makes me happy.
It does. You know, I was that girl that, you know, was just with the headphones headbanging all through high school. That's all I did. Now I can't headbang for 5 minutes without getting whiplash. I don't understand that.
You're
doing
it right.
I'm only 25, so I don't understand how, like, you know, I could headbang for like 5 minutes somewhere, you know, and then the next day it's like I have whiplash and I'm in pain, you know, and I did it all the time, every day. All through high school, pretty much. You know what I mean? How do you do that? You know, it's like, how is it you're a teenager and you're good and you're fine? You know, you headbang all you want and you're just fine. And then as soon as you hit like your mid-20s, all of a sudden you get whiplash.
The older you get. Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, really? Like, you know, I used to mosh too and I was just fine. But now I can't mosh at all.
It hurts more the older you get. Fuck that shit. You get older, you just got to learn how to hit. She's 25, turned that around.
But I'm just...
Turn that around.
I
can bring my friends down. We'll show you how to mosh. You just got to learn your
If I was really drunk, I'd mosh. But then I get really bitchy and, you know, and then, you know, I yell at people and that's just not cool.
And your point is, that's a problem. Why?
Because, you know...
Well, they probably deserved it.
Yeah, well, you know, some people deserve it, you know. Like this one time I was at this bar and I drank a couple shots of tequila, and I don't drink tequila at all. It was only because my friend bought it. And
listen to
I don't know if you guys like Nickelback, but I personally think that they should die, and I hate them. Not them, but their music, you know.
She's a Korn fan.
I just really quit. I just love I am a really big Korn fan. Have I told you this story? Okay, this is funny because I took a couple shots of tequila, and in my head I was like, shit. I was like, I hope this doesn't fuck me up too bad because I don't drink tequila. And then this guy was talking about Nickelback to his buddy behind me, and I turned around and looked at him really mean. I was like, Nickelback can suck my balls. Listen to some fucking Korn or something like that. But I said it all stupid because I was drunk right away. And then my friend just laughed, and I don't know. She thought it was funny. I don't know. Okay, that's not that good of a story. If you would have been there, it would have been really funny, though, because...
That's it. It usually works. It sounds like a story from Wyoming.
And
I was like, to the show, bro, and there was, like, three people and some cows. And, dude, it was a great time. Drink a whole cake.
Anytime you can talk down
cows and kegs,
Nickelback, it's a good story.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, cows, kegs, and Nickelback.
I always have to drunkenly inform them to listen to Korn.
Women while listening to Nickelback in the club, if you catch me.
Oh, God.
Drift on that one.
Oh, yeah.
The club, if you will.
The club in Wyoming,
it consists of two double wide trailers pulled together, a small stage, and a bar. And I don't think they've changed the carpet since they
1973.
Yeah,
brown,
it's pretty
shag
bad, you know,
carpet, the short pile shag carpet.
Hence the sheep fucking that happens here, I think.
Velcro mittens.
Oh my god.
No discrimination. We're the first to give women right to vote. We're the first to
And we invented Velcro mittens in Wyoming.
That's right.
How are you going to catch a sheep? They stick.
Bestseller.
Yeah, and I can say that because I'm from Wyoming, so can you. So I'm anybody in Wyoming that's listening to this and they don't like what we're talking about, you know what? Screw you.
He just knows a lot about, you know, fucking sheep.
That's because I'm an old fart. I grew up in a Basque community where the Johnson County cattle wars were fought, and there's lots of sheep herders, and you know what? I had to listen to old timers and all their bullshit. And they were, you know, them old time Bascos. And that's Basque, V-A-S-Q-U-E, Bascos, not, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Those guys are angry. I'm surprised they're not all listening to metal. But if you take Basque music and speed it up to the speed 98, it's metal. So anyway, I just got two fingers pointed at me, and they weren't horns. It's telling me I got 2 minutes left to wrap up for some music here and tie this thing all together. And hell, maybe we'll only do one song at the end of the show tonight. I don't know. Want to let you guys roll out is a little bit of self-promotion here again. Where are you going to be playing down in Denver? Where to see you at in Casper if you're there? I want to know where that is. And then we'll roll out the last song here. Can we just do one song at the end here, Sean? We'll just do one so he can give us a new time frame here. No new time frame. I'm still only 2 minutes. Go for it, guys. Where are you playing Casper? Where are you playing in Denver?
We're playing at Castleman's in Denver, September 14th for Project Independent. And if you come through Casper, just check us out on our Facebook page, hit us up, and we'll come out and have a beer with you. There's not a whole lot of places to play in Wyoming, hence that's why we go to Denver. So check us out on Facebook, Dead Pass, and I don't know what we're playing, but turn it up.
And if you're rolling through Casper and you want to play there and you're a metal band, check out Dead Pass. They can probably point you in the right direction. So I got 1 minute left to go here. Thank you, Yellowstone Cellars and Winery, for providing wine for this community right here in Yellowstone County. Thank you, Yellowstone Valley Brewing, for giving us beer to drink during the show. I need to catch a buzz to get through this night. It's a late night, and it makes it so much funner. Adventure Whitewater over the summer. This is going to be the last one they sponsor. They kept me going. Now we've got some new people coming online. Legendary Tattoo here in Billings. They're the tattoo artists of choice that we endorse, and you'll hear more about those on the station. Great artists down there from Venice Beach, California's House of Ink. Thank you very much. And thank you guys at Dead Pass for showing up tonight and being on the show with us. We really appreciate the music. And, you know, as angry as it is, I can feel the love, man.
Thanks, man. It's our pleasure.
Makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside when I listen to it. You know, it's metal.
So that's it. We're rolling out of here. Thanks for joining the Earthship tonight. You don't have to get off this ship. You're stuck on it. You're traveling. You're a hitchhiker. This is a production of 10 Star Records. Let her rock.